Mitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin, the 157th mitzvah, Shelo Lechol Of Tamei, not to eat a non-kosher birds. We have, of course, and the Torah allows us to eat all different types of living creatures, and some of them are what we call animals, and some are what we call birds, flying creatures. Shelo Lechol Of Tamei, Shenemar Ves Eila Teshaketsumin Ha'of Lo Ye Ochlu. These you shall be disgusting for you from the flying types of animals. Mishor sheha mitzvah mashikasav machalos asuros. Again, part of the general pattern that because of some sort of physical or perhaps metaphysical ill that they caused the human constitution, so God had compassion on us and he decided that we should not be eating these types of things. It's interesting that in the list of non-kosher birds, it includes an atalef, which is a bat, really. So is bat a bat?
A bat is kosher?
No. And they list the non-kosher birds. So people, bird experts in general, zoologists will say, well, no, a bat is not a bird. A bat is a mammal. But obviously, this is referring to simply flying type of creatures. It's not referring to what we call specifically birds in English terminology.
But it doesn't include insects, though.
It does not include insects, that's correct.
So it's not just flying, it means, something which...
With some sort of
warm-blooded
substance
flying
to it, yeah.
Warm-blooded flying things. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess pterodactyls would not have been...
Correct. Dinosaurs are not kosher, yeah. Midinei ha-mitzvah, ma-shamer zichronim levracha, simani behema v'chaya namru min ha-Torah. The Mishnah in Chulin tells us that the Torah tells us exactly what type of animals are kosher and non-kosher, how to figure it out yourself. Whereas by birds or flying animals, it's a little bit more difficult. It's split hooves and chewing its cud. The Torah didn't give us signs how to figure out which type of bird is kosher, which is not kosher, and that caused a lot of problems, as we're going to see. The Torah simply does, what it does is it lists all the types of non-kosher birds in the world. 24 types of non-kosher birds. So from that list, what is the Chevan Shekein who ain't Sarech Lichtov Lanu HaSimanim? Torah is like, well, since I told you which are non-kosher, I don't need to tell you how to figure out which are kosher. Anything that's not on the list is considered to be a kosher bird. Any bird in the world that happens not to be on the list is a kosher bird. And it's interesting, though, the Torah did also indicate which animals were kosher, all the species of kosher and non-kosher animal, wild animals and domesticated animals, but nevertheless, it also gave us the simanim, which is the signs, which is interesting. But the Gemara points out that there are more non-kosher animals than kosher animals, which is why the Torah said short. It gave us a shorter list of the kosher animals, and there are more kosher birds than non-kosher birds in the world, which is why the Torah gave us a list of non-kosher birds, because it's shorter. Could have given us some simanim also, but for some reason, the Torah did not include the signs for the kosher and non-kosher birds. You could argue that maybe it's because that the system in place that we have today is correct, and that's the way we should be operating. We'll get to more of that in a second. U'mikol makom im neisha kolos anminim shodiasnu ha-Torah ein kol adam baki bahen. But nevertheless, these words are in specific terminology to describe types of birds in ancient Hebrew, which not everybody is familiar with. Even the greatest linguistic experts cannot tell you exactly which species. I mean, if somebody had been reading this in the time of Matan Torah, they would have said, oh, it's that type of bird, and 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 all its fat relatives. So that's it. So, but nowadays, we don't. The terminology has gone out of use to know exactly what birds they're referring to. So Chazal came up with guidelines for determining how something is a kosher bird based on features of its body and analogous similarly to how we have the signs for the kosher animals. So Hodiyunu haChachomim Simanim Bahem Kadesh Shiyakiros and Kol Adam V'Yuchal Echol Min Ofos Avobi Sheinu Makir Afilu Echol Mikol Aminim Atumeim Eforashim Akasu. If you don't know, you read the list of it. You don't know Hebrew at all. The Chazal wanted you to be able to figure out which was a kosher bird and which was not kosher bird, because Chalila, you should be deprived of eating pheasant or any type of these types of birds. Chazal wanted you to have all the opportunities available to you. And if you know exactly what the Torah is referring to with these 24 types of species and all the related species to those 24, you can find you. go to any part of the world, you see any exotic bird, you know it happens not to be on the list, so it's okay. Kevan she'amru she'kolov she'lo nizgar min ha'tumim b'tara kasher. As I said, they're more kosher, non-kosher birds and non-kosher birds. So the list of 24 includes every single type of non-kosher bird in the whole world. If it's not on that list, it is kosher.
What? It's not the whole species, it's just the specific.
No, it's a species. On all these things, it says Laminehu. That means that's giving a general example of the main type of bird that's in the species, but all their related, very similar types of species would be included. Well, all the birds that the Torah forbade have names.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, a New World species, like a condor or something like that, which is not on the list, but it seems to be sort of related to, say, a vulture or a...
So maybe you could argue that's a type of vulture.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an excellent question. We'll get to New World birds in a second. This is the understanding of most of the Rishonim, that this list of 24 means to include every single species of non-kosher bird in the world. It's an absolutely comprehensive list. And against this opinion is actually Tosfos in Chulin, in the Perek Elu Trefos, which discusses this these halachos of the signs of birds, and etc., it says that the Torah didn't mean here that it's giving a comprehensive, specific list of all the birds that are forbidden in the world. No, what the Torah is trying to do is it's trying to give you an idea of the types of birds that God wants you to eat and the types that it doesn't want you to eat. So, for example, we're going to go into a second, the signs that Chazal gave us to try to determine which was indeed a kosher bird, and the opposite obviously indicate that it's a non-kosher bird, so that's a common denominator amongst most or all of the birds on the list of 24, so therefore, really what the Torah is trying to tell you is, basically, without saying explicitly for some reason, trying to give you the tools to figure out which should be a kosher and non-kosher bird. But again, that's not the majority opinion. Majority opinion is that it is indeed a comprehensive list of all the non-kosher birds in the world. But again, for us, there's no real practical difference, as we'll see in a minute. Umisha eino makira, and if you don't know the full list of 24, amru chacham zichronim livracha, she'elu simanehem. These are the signs for a kosher bird. Kol of hadores, any bird that is predatory. We'll discuss what that means in a second. Biadua shehu mimine hatmeim shebatorah. So if it's a predatory bird, that's it. Immediately crossed off the kosher list. You don't need to check any other signs. Uperish dores. So what does it mean, predatory? Or literally means, dores literally means to step on something, or to use your, for an animal, to use its claws. Like a dores, for example, an ari, a lion, kills its prey by being dores, by swiping at it with its claws and killing it with a claw. So what does that mean? When the birds are preying on other species of birds, so they dig their claws in to the bird that they want to eat. And what do? They inject venom. One second. So like these types of hunting birds. So what does it mean that injects venom? As far as we know, birds don't inject venom. So the new scientific understanding of what this means is it could be that it causes an infection at the site of the wound.
Very fast infection.
Though. It's quoted in there in your art scroll that since it creates, there's bacteria in the claws, and then it penetrates the skin, and it...
That's not what kills the mouse. Or
yeah, but maybe it doesn't
dead
matter.
Warm before it has a chance to get infected. You know?
Yeah. Right, in Achinami, yeah, right. That's true. Right. But whatever it means, I mean, that it kills based on digging its talons into other species. Probably the way they understood is that it did inject some sort of venom, I don't know. We now know that they don't. This is the opinion of the Ramban on his commentary on the Chumash, where he has a lengthy discussion of all these things. But there are different other opinions. Rashi says that it just means that it grabs with its talons and then brings it up from the ground, its prey, and then eats it. Rabbi Yotam says, no, that's not, that can't be correct, because we see that even chickens do that sometimes. They have things that they want to eat, and they grab it. Again, I don't know the practicality of all these things, but Rabbeinu says Rabbeinu Tam says, nowadays with the chumrah culture, they probably say, us, you see, according to Rashi, we have to be choshesh, the chickens are not kosher, because they do this. But Rabbeinu Tam said, no, we know we eat chickens, that's it, the minag is for sure acceptable. So he says, it can't be what Doris means. That what it just means is that it eats its prey before it dies. That it grabs its prey and doesn't wait for the prey to die. Before it eats it. So that's according to Rabbeinu Tam, but the majority opinion is like the Chinuch, according to the Ramban, that it just means that it kills its prey by grabbing onto it somehow and killing with the talons. It does not mean, this is a common misconception, that any bird that is carnivorous is doris and is not kosher. That is completely incorrect. For example, we saw... when we were learning, I went to a couple of classes that they have YU about shechita, so we're learning a little bit about the issues of kashrus of birds. So he says, who here thinks that doris, ofa doris, a non-kosher bird, is any type of predatory bird? Carnivorous might be the wrong word, but any type of predatory bird. So a lot of hands went up, that's what people thought. So he says, okay, well here I have a very hungry duck. He brought out a cage, there was a duck in the cage, and he said, then he put a bowl of goldfish on the counter. So he let the duck out of the cage. So the duck ran straight over to the goldfish and slurped them up. The duck dipped its beak into the bowl of goldfish and it swallowed the goldfish. So he said, here is a perfectly kosher duck, and it just ate fish. But what did it not do? It has webbed toes. It has nice gentle talons. It doesn't have predatory talons. So it stuck its mouth straight and grabbed its prey straight with its mouth. So that grabbing prey with the mouth does not indicate that the bird is not kosher. Doris is specifically referring to some sort of action of the talons. So doris is automatically off the list. Any bird that's doris, even if it looks completely kosher, otherwise it kills its prey in that manner with the talons, no good. Any bird that has these three signs, sheyeshlo etzba yesera, it has an extra long toe. It's a difference of opinion what that means. That the middle toe goes out longer than the other toes on the side. That means etzba yesera doesn't mean an extra toe. It just means an extra long toe. According to other opinions, what the extra toe means is that there's like a little toe-like appendage on the back of the foot, a little bit higher than the other toes. That, according to some opinions, is literally an extra toe, but that's not the way the chinuch is going over here. This seems to be the majority opinion. V'zefek, it has a crop. That's part of the first part of the digestive system of birds. It's like at the end of the esophagus. Like a little pouch. So that also has a peelable gizzard. So if anybody has seen the gizzards that they have in the store already peeled for you, but if you see a chicken straight out of the shechita and you are trying to dissect it and get the gizzard out, so that's where another part of the digestive system where it grinds the food more finely. So if you take out the kurkavan, the gizzard from the chicken, when it's straight out of the chicken, there's going to be food remnants in it. And there's a little membrane in it that you can easily peel. With your hand, you can peel off the membrane, so that's an indication of a kosher bird. So nikravalas ventrai, that's apparently how you say gizzard in Spanish, at least at that time. V'yeshlo or dak besocha basar lifnim. Those or niklav miktsas ofos. Again, it's a peelable membrane. Mikeva cheshlov gimel simanim elu biyadua sheinu imenat tameim umutter. So, if it has the three signs, it's not predatory with its claws, and it has a peelable gizzard and a crop and an extra toe, then it is for sure a kosher bird. You know, it's for sure not on list. That's the tradition of Chazal, and you don't have to worry. We'll see in a minute more about that. So there are two specifications over here. One is for stringency and one is for leniency. So if it has the three signs, and you don't have to ask anyone about is this a kosher bird or not, you can simply eat it and be happy. There are four types of, just like in birds, we have two kosher signs, and birds there are four kosher signs, not explicit in the Torah, but received by Chazal. Ve'elohen, eino doris, not predatory, that's v'yaseira, v'zefek, v'hurka, v'aniklaf, as we said. V'chlar chalalnu, shekol ha'of, shenimtza chaser echa mehen, v'hu ha'miyuchad shebehen, dehainu eino doris. So any the most important one is the one about the drisa, the one about the praying with the talons. So if it does pray, shutamil olam, it's obviously for sure not kosher. Ve'enu tzarech livdok vodav rachir, don't bother checking the signs, just chuck it. Ve'en tzarech lomar im chaser mikulan, certainly if it doesn't have any of the signs, then it's for sure not. It's shein bo afil echad misimari tara elu shaser. But if it doesn't have any of these three kosher signs, so it's not going to be kosher. Even if it's just lacking the one sign of not being a dores, it is automatically disqualified. So for sure, if it's lacking all three of the others, so for sure it's automatically disqualified. The anesher who can, that's for example, the griffin vulture, not an eagle in ancient Hebrew, anesher, as Rabbi Slifkin's likes to say often.
Sadugon apparently also identified that way.
Griffin vulture?
That's what, yeah.
Good. He lived in the Middle East. Shein bo echad mikol simanitara, the griffin vulture has none of these kosher signs, and it grabs its prey with its claws. So that's a nesher is specifically listed in the Torah, but that's just an example of a really, really not kosher one, because it has nothing to speak for it.
Except the griffin vulture actually has a protruding toe, in fact, according to...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it does, right. So, all right.
In that's the back?
No, no. In other words, like eagles, the real, you know, I mean, eagles and griffin vultures both have the middle, you know, claw where it sticks out. And, you
know.
Okay.
The one in
I don't know.
Back.
I don't know. It's got, I don't know.
All right, well.
Nimtza, it's definitely not kosher. That much I can tell you. Nimtza of chaser min hashnayim. If it is lacking two signs, kolomar shiyu bo shnei simani tara levad, it has two signs, and v'yaksu menu ashnayim acherim, again, 4 minus 2 is 2, thank you, Rabbi Sefer Chino, for doing the math for us, v'echa min ashnayim, shel tara shimtzu bo yesh eino doris, so one of the two signs is that it's not a doris, kolo shukein hu tohor lecho lechol mi shemakir orev v'chol min orev. So if it has two kosher signs, one being that it's not a doris, so the only non-kosher birds that have that combination of features is the crow and all types of species of crows. So if you know what crows and all types of species of crows look like, and you can identify them, then you can eat those, and you know this is not one of those. Then as long as it has the two signs, then you can eat it. I meant raven. Yes. Ofishein b'chol min hatveim shiakein ki'im orev umino shehukein. So this is the only type of bird that has that combination of features. Eino doris, eishol siman echa, begufo mi simani atara. V'siman zeh shel tara, eino kavua b'chol min orev. The one kosher sign that it has is not the same in all different species of ravens. Ela, yesh b'min orev, sheishol etzba yesera v'eino doris. Some have a toe, extra toe, and it's not doris. Yesh ein lo zefek v'eino doris. Some have a crop, v'yesh shikor kivano niklaf. Some have a peelable gizzard. But it's nevertheless, ravens are the only type of non-kosher species that have these two kosher signs. This is the opinion of some commentators. Some say the two signs of kashrus are in addition to the fact that it's not doris, and not that it includes the fact that it's not doris. Nimtza of chaser, right. So if you find a bird, nimtza of chaser, ashlosha simanitara v'lo yishar bo kim ha'echad ha'miyuchad v'hu she'eino doreis. If it has none of the signs in its body and it just doesn't doreis, tahor la'olam. So if it has no kosher signs whatsoever, but it has you absolutely know that it does not pray with its talons, so then it's definitely a kosher bird. L'fi she'ein b'chol ha'ofos hatmeim. None of the non-kosher birds have this combination of features. All of them have at least one. If they are predatory birds in this manner, then they always will have at least one kosher sign. Except for the peris and the ozniya, the exact identification, I don't know. Does Artsuf translate it, or does it just transliterate?
Bearded vulture and osprey.
Okay, there you go.
Although maybe not.
Einan mitsuyin beyishuv. Mikevan she'einan mitsuyin beyishuv ein lasapik ba'en. That these types of birds are not found in the normal places where we would be finding birds to eat. So if you find a bird that's for sure not doris, but and has none of the kosher signs, then you normally do not need to be concerned that it's a peris or an ozniyah and you're allowed to eat it. That some of the commentators say, it's brought in the Ran without a name apparently, that they said, yeah, that's within the time of Chazal, they didn't have these things around, but nowadays maybe we do have it around. Maybe we do have to be concerned that one of the birds that we might be eating, we might have the potential to eat, is a peris or an ozniyah. The Koreni Alehem, Al Tehi Tzadik Harbe. I say, don't be so religious. There's a pasuk in Koheles that says you shouldn't be, don't be very, very righteous. It's not good to be extra religious, except regarding baking matzahs, as we discussed yesterday. Then it's okay to be extra religious. But regarding most things, you shouldn't go overboard. So he said, this is too overboard. Ki heim amru de lo shchichi b'yushuv. Chazal told it to us, and we don't have to think about it anymore. Kolom rishem archikin hen lo lami makom osa yushuv. It doesn't mean that the Chazal were telling us, oh, they're not, by us, they're not around. That's not what Chazal were telling us. What Chazal were telling us is that these species of bird don't like to hang around humans. So if that's the case, then you never in any place have to be concerned that there might be a peris or an ozniyah. Umikeban Shetivam Kane is telling us about the nature of these birds. Ha'aretz la'olam ha'madas, that the world doesn't change in such a significant way. Ba'adin shaveh v'cholzman. Obviously, you could argue with this. And you could argue, nishtanu ha'tvayim, all these different type of, the nature changes. But anyway, this is the Chinuch's opinion. What?
I don't know
about these birds. Maybe, I'm saying, I assume the Chinuch is right, but I'm just saying, there's obviously room to argue with the Chinuch, as this Yesh Mishomer does. But the Chinuch's opinion, in any case, is that you don't need to be. Hold on, 1 second. We'll get to the Masara. Nimtzu bagufo shlosha simani tara. If we find the three signs in his body, vehim etba yaseira v'zevik v'kurkeva niklav biyadua shu kosher, we know that it's kosher. V'gam haravi huba, we know that it's not doreis. Kolomar sheino doreis. Shein ba'olam of b'shlosha simani meilu shu doreis. Obviously, with all these three kosher signs, that it's so kosher, how could it be that it could not be doris? Don't worry about it. Just enjoy, eat, relax. It's fine. But if it has three of the kosher signs, including that it's not doris, meaning it only has two signs in his body, the Sefer Chinuch says, then we have serious problems because kirovat meinheim. That most of the non-kosher birds, interesting that would be set up this way. There would be so many details like this. It's very strange. But in any case, most of the non-kosher birds have three kosher signs and are just lacking one, including the fact that they're not doris. But tzarech kol adam lishol alof kazeh. That's why you have to make you have to really be sure what's going on. Although obviously you could get out of having to ask around about this type of bird if you are familiar with all the different types of birds in the Torah that are listed as non-kosher, then obviously you don't have to worry because you know this isn't one of them. Nimtza lefi dvarenu shekol ov shiasupak aleinu im tamei otahor yel kolpanem bishnei tzadim. That any type of bird where there's a doubt as to whether it's kosher or not kosher, that's if it has three kosher signs, one of which being that it's not predatory, meaning it only has two signs in its body. That's really a concern. And if it has only two kosher signs, including the fact that it's not predatory, meaning it only has one sign in its body, so it may be a raven, and if it's not a raven, then it's kosher. But all the other types, then we're going to know immediately whether it is kosher or not kosher. It's very strange that in other words, sometimes more kosher signs is a problem, which is funny, because simani tahara
is sort of a misnomer, a sign of kashrus, meaning that it's not really a sign of kashrus, it's just a sign, all three of which, or all four of which, together create kashrus, and if you have different combinations, you don't really, usually in the Torah, it works with additions. Either one has, if it has X plus Y, then kosher. You can, it's an easy formula. Here, if it's it's a totally different formula for determining what types of birds are kosher, what types of birds are not kosher. It's very strange. Shis datoch badavar kichenu lefi kalenu zeh. So you have to remember this type of reasoning if you want to eat kosher birds. Uchal zeh kosavnu so lefi tzvaras ktsasa mefarshim. Again, you can imagine that the Gemara is not 100% clear when it's discussing this whole sugya about which bird is kosher and which bird is not, and the signs, and it's a whole balagan. So this is the way I'm setting the path for you that this is the way to do it. Ki harbe perushim is parshu binyanim elu shalofos. You can imagine if you look in the Rishonim on this the end of Elu Trefos when it talks about these halachos, totally different opinions about what's going on. But we have a saving grace. V'chol ha'ofos ha'mesupakim, all of the birds where we're not sure whether they're kosher or not, amru zichronim livracha, shehin necholin b'masores. So, a saving grace over here is that if the bird, you're not sure, it's one of the birds where it's hard to determine whether it's kosher or not, if it has all four signs, so go, according to the chinuch, go ahead and eat it. If it has the other things, you know, it's for sure that it's not kosher. But if it's one of the types where we're not sure whether it's kosher or not, then a tradition helps. All you need is there to be a tradition from your ancestors that they used to eat this bird, and that you don't have to worry about it at all. You don't have to check the signs in the body. You don't have to check anything. The Shach on the Shulchan Aruch talks about this many times, where he says he saw that some people write that if you have a Masoris, you still need to check the signs. He says that's completely incorrect. Kilomar shim kiblu b'nei amokom v'nagu b'pshitos le'achlo b'chezkas tohor v'shei lefakbek olav klal b'ein tzorech levodgo. That a masoris here doesn't necessarily mean the sense that we have it today. That man tata hod gegessen this bird, and man zeda hod gegessen this bird, that my father ate this bird, and my grandfather ate this bird, and my great-grandfather ate this bird, so therefore I'm going to eat it too. You don't even need to think about it in such terms. This is the way the Rambam phrases it also, that tushia dover pashud boso makom shezeov tahor. The way the Chinuch phrases it, is similar to the way the Rambam phrases it, is if everybody's eating it, so it must be kosher. Part of the, maybe partially because we know that God doesn't let Klal Yisrael be nichshal to have such a big avera on their heads that everybody's eating a non-kosher bird. If it's a widespread, simple understanding in this place that it's a kosher bird, then it is in fact, then you don't have to worry about it at all. But again, the chinuch would agree, as do most Rishonim, that if it has all four signs, then you're allowed to eat it, even if it doesn't, you don't have any tradition whatsoever as to the kashrus. However, where the issue comes in is the opinion of Rashi. The Rashi writes on the Gemara that based on a discussion over there, that there was a certain bird that they, the Gemara says, that they used to eat because they thought it had all four signs, but eventually somebody noticed that this bird was actually a Doris. That this bird used to be predatory in the way that's not allowed. So then they stopped eating it. They said, Oyvei, we've been eating a non-kosher bird. So Rashi writes over there, so since there's a possibility that any bird might really turn out to be a Doris, and you never saw it eat that way before, but it can eat that way, it does eat that way. So Rashi writes that you're not allowed to eat any bird whatsoever unless you have a tradition as to its kashrus. And this is where the practice comes from nowadays, that we do not eat any bird whatsoever unless we have a tradition about its kashrus. This, for Sfardim, is somewhat mitigated, because although, most Rishonim don't hold from this, and they said that you don't have to be concerned, but the Shulchan Aruch quotes a tradition, it's also quoted by the Ran and Chulin from the Baal Hamor, Rabbi Zrachi Alevi, and he quotes that if it has a wide nose and a wide foot, in other words, that it looks like a kosher bird, it has the same basic characteristics as a kosher bird, then that is a mitigating factor, then you don't need a tradition and you can rely on the signs. Which is why,
even though again, even though the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch for Svarim does accept the requirement for a tradition for all birds, which again is more stringent than most Rishonim, the Mechaber does accept this tradition that if it seems to share the characteristics with kosher birds, then it's okay, which is why for Sfardim it's no problem whatsoever to eat turkey. The turkey was a big issue because the turkey is a native North American bird, so how could there have been a tradition for it? How can we eat turkey? So for Sfardim it's really no problem because for Sfardim it seems to share, it looks like a kosher bird, it acts like a kosher bird. It's very hard to have a simanim. Very hard to imagine that it's pretty clear that the turkey is in fact not on the list of 24 non-kosher birds. So for Sfardim, they could certainly eat turkey. For Ashkenazim, it's a little bit more complicated because Ashkenazim, we paskin completely that you that even this doesn't work. We reject this idea that it has to have, even if it has a wide nose and a wide foot, then it's okay. You don't have to worry about the tradition. So we need a tradition for all types of birds. So how, in fact, can we eat turkey? This is an excellent question. According to according to many poskim, for example, it said that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky personally didn't eat turkey, although for his descendants he was lenient. Rav Shechter paskins for all Ashkenazim that they're in fact not allowed to eat turkey because there are because there's no tradition for it. So finished, end of story.
Has he told the OU that?
I think the OU is not listening to him. The OU is not listening to him on this matter. The most stringent about the turkey, actually, was the Shla, the famous rabbi, who was actually the rabbi of Frankfurt in the 17th century. And when they brought this new bird, he was not so happy when they brought this new bird from from the North America to Europe. He said, of course, you can't eat it because of Jewish tradition. And then he says, oh, he's vindicated because he heard or he saw, I think maybe it even says in some sources that he physically saw, actually saw that the turkey was Doris. So nobody since then has seen a turkey be Doris, but apparently the Shla saw a turkey be Doris, so he said the turkey is for sure not a kosher bird. I mean, the assumption of all the other poskim is that, yes, of course, turkey is in fact a kosher bird. It's just maybe we're not allowed to eat it because we don't have a tradition for it. But the Shla is pretty much the only one who says, no, in fact, turkey is not a kosher bird. So this is held to very strictly by the descendants of the Shla. He said in his will, he instructed all his descendants for all times never ever to touch turkey because he saw it being Dori. So there's a rabbi in YU named Rabbi Horowitz. The Shla's last name was Horowitz. So Rabbi Horowitz is a direct descendant of the Shla. So, of course, he doesn't eat turkey. So he said, Rav Shechter quoted him once as he was discussing, because Rav Shechter also doesn't eat turkey. So he's discussing the issue of turkey with Rav Shechter. So Rabbi Horowitz says, you know, and the Shla was so stringent about this for all his descendants. Rabbi Horowitz says he has cousins who are not from, and they eat chazer. But turkey they won't touch.
Turkeys are able to interbreed, apparently, with like ducks or chickens or something like that.
Right, that's what I heard also.
Is that a consideration with birds?
Right, so that is one consideration, that kosher animals cannot interbreed with kosher animals, but does not discuss it explicitly as regarding kosher birds. So according to most poskim, the same principle applies to kosher birds, that if they can interbreed with each other, and there is a species of turkey that can interbreed with a certain species of chicken, so therefore, we know for sure that a turkey is a kosher bird, so that is a mitigating factor to the lack of Masorah, and maybe that would be fine. That's one of the reasons, that's indeed one of the reasons why most Ashkenazim do, in fact, eat turkey nowadays. But why else would Ashkenazim eat turkey? What could be the reason? So it could be that it started, first the Sephardi community started eating it, then the Ashkenazi community saw that the Sephardi communities were eating it, and they said, oh, we're just going to, oh, it must be a kosher bird. They didn't even think to investigate, so they started eating it as well. So Rav Shechter says, okay, so if you look in, there's a tshuva by the Rush, where he talks about eating relying on a different community. So he says, you have to check out the Masorah carefully. You can't just say, oh, you look blindly, other Jews are eating it. He says, you have to check out the Masorah carefully. Maybe they're just eating it because somebody checked out the Simanim and they decided it was kosher. You have to make sure that it's actually a tradition going back generations and generations till Moshe Rabbeinu or whatever, till that it's actually a kosher bird. So it's another reason Rav Schechter feels like we need to paskin like this Rush, and you need to investigate the tradition of the turkey, and since the fact that turkey has no tradition, then it's incumbent upon us to be stringent. But most people assume that even if it is difficult, I'm not going to lie. I mean, if you don't have the interbreeding thing, which does certainly help mitigate things, but if you don't have the interbreeding thing, that it is indeed difficult why Ashkenazim do eat turkey. But nevertheless, no matter what the history is of hundreds of years ago, since nowadays it's so widely accepted, it's as the Rambam says, it's a davar pashut bo sumakom. Everybody knows turkey is a kosher bird. The Badatz of the Eid Haredis gives a hechsher on turkey. It's yichidim. It's individual people who are stringent about it because of the Masoreis. But since it's such a pashut thing nowadays, a turkey is a kosher bird, so people feel that that's sufficient to rely on as far as the Masoreis is concerned. Although indeed it is a difficult thing. Right. So Rav Schechter, somebody asked Rav Schechter in Shir once, so how could, if you're so against it, so how can the OU give a hechsher on turkey? So he says, that's for Sfardim. But again, that's not the commonly accepted opinion at all, that we certainly do treat turkey as kosher, despite the difficulties. It's interesting that tshuva by the Rush, he's talking about the Rush move. This is one of the tshuvas that's very commonly quoted by Ashkenazim, which is that the Rush moved from Germany to Spain to avoid persecution. And he writes about the birds that they used to eat in Spain versus the birds that they used to eat in Germany. So he says, but I'm not so thrilled about the Masorah that they have over here in Spain, because then when I was back in Germany, the Torah in Ashkenaz, the Torah was a direct inheritance in Ashkenaz from the sages from the time of the Beis Hamikdash, that they came from Eretz Yisrael to Italy to Ashkenaz, and we have over here it's not as. It's not quite as glatt and wonderful the Torah tradition that they have in Spain as opposed to the Torah tradition they have in Germany. So again, she'en lefach bekal zeh klal. If everybody's eating it according to the chinuch, again, the chinuch is not going with Rashi that you need a Masorah for everything. But the chinuch says if everybody's eating it, so you don't have to worry.
So chinuch would presumably hold the turkeys all right.
The chinuch would for sure hold the turkeys all right, because the chinuch is not going with the idea that you need a Masorah for everything. All you have to do is check the simanim. Again, as I said, it's in the third parak of Chulim. If you receive the penalty of lashes for eating a olives bulk of a non-kosher bird of any kind. Mitzvah Kufnun Ches, a related mitzvah. Mitzvah 158. Mitzvahs bedikas simane chagovim, to check the signs of kosher grasshoppers. So how do we check the signs of kosher grasshoppers? Kosher insects are not something we're so used to, but nevertheless they're a major feature in the Torah's discussion of kosher animals. So livdog besimane chagovim veima simane maksuvim batorah. These are signs that are written in the Torah. Shelo kiro ayim imal leraglov. Shenamar ezet tochlu mikol sheretzauf. That these are what you can eat from the creepy crawly things that fly. Inyan shorsha kemo b'shar aminim, the same as other kashrus laws. Dineha, what are the halachos of kosher grasshoppers? Perishu zichronim livracha. Shishmona mine chagav tahorhem. There are eight different types of grasshoppers that are kosher. Ve'eluhen, echad shenikra chagav. One is called simply chagav. Sheni shenikra dovnis v'humin chagav. Shlishi anikra chargol, revis utzrabia, v'hu min chargol, chamishi arbe, locusts, shishi tziporas kramim, a vineyard bird, that's what its nickname, v'hu min arbe, that's a David grasshopper, shvi solam, shmini yochana, yurshalmis, v'hu min solam. So all these types of grasshoppers and locusts are actually kosher and parv, like fish. So just like fish. So fish are kosher parv. You can make, again, be such a nice source of protein. Somebody who's afraid of becoming fleishig during the day, in the middle of the day. So if you want a nice source of protein for lunch, then you can have your grasshoppers.
Do you can have really eat grasshoppers?
One second. We'll get there. Umishu Bucky, if you're an expert in all these types of grasshoppers, Bodig Bahen, Lefi Bikiuso, Vishmosean Beochel, Batsayed Yisrael, Neman Alam Uvov. So if you know all the species, it's like the birds that you could just check to make sure it's not one of those species and you can eat it. And the Jewish gatherer, I wouldn't call it a hunter exactly there, is believed regarding which are species and which are kosher species and which are not kosher species, and the same regarding oaf, the same, again, at the times that you didn't eat a masara, then the Jewish hunter would be believed regarding a bird as well. Oh, Misheino Bucky Bahen, if you're not aware, Bodig Besimanim Shanas Natarbam, you just check the signs and you're good to go. What are they? So it has four wings that cover most of its body and most of the width of its body. Four legs. And then it has the two extra legs to jump. As we have this, we have a nice picture now. So we have a nice picture over here with a diagram of the four signs that it has the wings, and it had very long wings. And it has these special legs that are used for jumping. The legs go up and then down. And that's according to many, but there's another opinion that the extra legs for jumping are this actual little appendage on the back of the big jumping legs that apparently is what's really used to spring. But never the case. In any event, if it has all those things, then it's kosher. Now, this is very tricky. The other signs are pretty easy to look at. You look at the grasshopper, and it has the sign, so it's good. So if one of the signs is that its name needs to be Chagav, so how do you know that? How do you know that this particular species was called Chagav in ancient Hebrew? That's very difficult to understand how that could be a sign, but nevertheless, That's a major issue. Yes, sir. Pratem of Arne Perik Shlishi Michulin. It's in the second and third paragraph of Chulin, the same as the birds.
That one, we don't eat it because really.
So that's the main reason, right? That's the main reason that why we don't really eat grasshoppers is because if this is really a condition that its name has to be Chagav, then you really need an accurate tradition. In Ashkenaz, they were not eating. In Europe, they did not have these kosher types of grasshoppers, or at least they didn't eat them, or they didn't have the Masorah for it. So they were worried that maybe it's called it's not called Chagav, so then we can't eat it. However, yeah.
Does Chagav have a literal meaning in Hebrew? Or
it's just the name of grasshopper.
So there's no similar, something that you might say etymologically might give
it. Yeah, there are Arabic words, right. That's part of the thing. That maybe that counts. There are certain in species of grasshopper that are called an equivalent of Chagav in Arabic, I believe. So it's a question whether that would count or not. But in any event, the main Jew, yeah?
So the father do eat grasshopper.
So there were two places where they did eat grasshoppers. One was in Morocco and one was in Yemen. So they apparently had a Masorah that these species were called Chagav as a part of the kosher species. So yeah, to this day they still do.
Really?
Oh yeah? Cool. So apparently
he's had them.
Right. You just
fried,
chocolate covered, I think so.
You can do whatever you want. You can eat them however you want.
I'm just wondering what the local.
You can put them in cholent, you can fry, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, the Yemenites have a tradition, actually, that the chagavim that are kosher have a marking on their bellies that looks like a ches. So it's a sign for a chagav. It's true that the ones they have the Masorah for do have a marking on the belly that does sort of look like a ches, but that's not a real sign for this
we
indication.
We need an OU, I guess. Right?
Yeah, should have an OU on the... Yeah, very cute. Very cute. So it's a little bit of a question as to whether we can rely on the Masorah of the Moroccans and the Yemenites for which type of grasshoppers are kosher, we as Ashkenazim to eat them. So the main idea that you could is because the Ashkenazim, it's not that we don't eat them because we have a tradition that these are not kosher. The reason we don't eat the grasshoppers is because we just didn't have the information. We didn't have the information, so therefore these places do have the information, so why not? We can eat them. That's the more liberal approach. The other approach is, no, we need our own tradition. And so that's a question regarding birds also, whether you can eat birds relying on a tradition. According to the Rosh, like we said, you have to investigate their tradition, so that would be more of a problem, and we like the Ashkenazi tradition better. And occasionally you hear about these OU dinners, where they go to a restaurant and it's very expensive. You go and they'll serve you all types of birds, but there is at least, I assume they don't serve birds that just have a sort of Yemeni tradition, although there are people who want to go around recording all the traditions of the different Jewish communities just to make sure it's not lost. Even if we're not relying on Lemaisa, but any event, so they want to record the traditions, at least with Ashkenazi Jewry, they want to serve all the types of birds just to make sure it doesn't get lost, because nowadays the American diet is very bland. We like chicken and we like beef. That's it. In the olden days, they used to eat tons of different types of birds. They used to eat goats. They used to eat lambs. It was a much more varied diet. So they want to try to, nowadays that everything is so industrialized in American meat production, so they want to make sure that the types of birds that we have in Misora for are still, we can still eat, like pheasants. There's an Ashkenazi tradition for like geese for sure. Geese, duck, there are different types of bird, different types of quails, partridges, things like that, where there really is a tradition for, we just don't know about it nowadays because they're not produced in industrial meat production.
Incidentally, isn't there an issue about a Muscovy duck?
Yeah.
Isn't it a duck? I mean, it looks like a duck.
So Rabbi Loike explained it in the Shkita class a little bit.
What is it called?
It's called a Muscovy duck. Different. There was a time where they were shechting. There was a certain slaughterhouse that was shechting these types of ducks and as marketing it as duck. But then there was a whole tumult as to whether there's actually a Masorah for these types of ducks or not, or just the regular types of ducks. So Rabbi Loike said, yeah, it could be there's not really a tradition for it. They're different. They have different characteristics from the regular type of ducks. But he said that technically it certainly is a kosher bird. There's no question that it's not against Sfardim, probably wouldn't be able to eat it, but then, nevertheless, when they discovered this, I don't know if the slaughterhouse was under the OU. I assume it probably was.
Noticed the difference between one kind of, you know, this duck and
the other. Oh, Shochtim, they're assembly line nowadays.
Oh, okay, all right. Well,
the Shochtim are.
Certainly must look like it must look very much like a regular
it's
duck.
It's a type of duck. It's a type of duck, but it's different enough that the Misora for the regular duck doesn't necessarily apply to the Muscovy duck. Yeah, that's right. But I don't think the people would have had to kosher their dishes because probably it certainly was a kosher bird. But nevertheless, they figured it out, so they stopped doing it.
It's not the question of, I mean, we know, for example, that the Sephardim did not eat turkeys before the New World was.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, there's a definite problem in their Masorah.
Correct, that's where Schechter's opinion. He
however, says, the grasshoppers, okay.
Yeah, but even so, you're right, 100%, that the Masorah for the grasshoppers is better than the Masorah for turkey. That is certainly true, but nevertheless, there is an opinion that, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch even, as one of the opinion that it's not proper to rely on the tradition of somewhere else, but again, it depends on the exact parameters, whether it's just a lack of information, and again, it depends how much also we go according to this opinion that you really need, it's that its name needs to be Chagav in order to be allowed to eat it, yeah?
There's no special way you need to kill it, right?
No, so it's like birds. It's whatever. Parf. Nothing that needs Shkita can be parf.
Fish, yeah, right.
So it's like fish. There's no special way to kill it. You don't have to do malicha. It's much easier than meat. Okay. Be a nice, cheap, economically sound source of protein. It'd be nice if people would start eating. But you have to get used to it. People think it's gross.
Yeah,
there are lots of species of non-kosher grasshoppers, yeah. So it would be very economical and very good if we could just get people used to starting to eat this. Yeah, smaller things, they say, are generally, wild things are easier, are more economical than, right.
They're so tiny.
Yeah.
There's a big movement in America now.
Smaller fish, smaller, yeah.
For the environment or whatever,
because they're more plentiful.
Practically, when there was a plague of grasshoppers, there wasn't anything left to eat. So
yeah, some people, that's what you're talking, you're adding to the chinuch b'shor shehamitzvah. Why did the Torah allow us to eat grasshoppers? Because it was a compassionate, something compassionate on God's part that when there was a huge plague of locusts and they ate all your other crops, so at least you could eat them.
Well, wasn't in the Mitzrayim during the plague of locusts that the Mitzrayim thought that they'd be able to eat the locusts, but part of the nace was that they were all completely,
Rabbi Slifkin writes about how there was a plague, recently there was a plague of locusts in Israel and Egypt. And the Department of Agriculture, the Ministry of Agriculture, was going to fumigate them. So he's like, no, I want to eat them. Don't fumigate them. So he ran down before the fumigation. He has this whole dramatic encounter with a fumigation agent and how he was trying to collect them before they were fumigated and whatever. And he narrowly escaped being fumigated himself, whatever you can read about it. Fine. If you eat a grasshopper and you didn't carefully check the simanim, then you neglected to perform a positive commandment, again, according to the Rambam, whereas the Ramban does not agree with all these positive commandments of checking specifically.
No lashes?
There is, but we'll get to that later. That's later. That's in the midst of not the non-kosher bugs.